We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
I'm kind of tempted to just take Joe Madden up on his offer. There doesn't really need to be any analysis on that one.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air from Wrigley Field in Chicago. It's the Chicago Cubs against the Colorado Rockies.
It was a horrible game. He said
that game belongs in Lake Michigan with cement shoes tied around him. And that was awful.
Oh, I got a call about a boat, Sea-Ray 50. I want you guys' opinion on it.
What, now?
Yeah, the owner's got two offers. I got to decide this morning. Cuban guy.
That ball is long gone. Colorado, a quick 2-0 lead.
A little early in the day, no?
Sea legs.
Trevor Story with a solo home run. 5-1. That's gone. A home run. 6-1.
I've been waiting 40 minutes. The Cuban had to go see the Harbor Master, but we're free to give it a spin.
And the Rockies have broken it wide open, and they lead 9-2.
Should we test drop the anchor, Sal Scholes?
Later.
And now the Rockies lead 10-2.
On the face, okay? Give me that. Keep my eyes.
It is now 11-2.
I feel like I can't stand. Is that okay, Tony? Did I sit?
This ball game is over. Colorado wins it 11-2.
At the weights.
Go to Home Depot, get a couple cinder blocks. And...
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. New in the afternoons, 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I know Joe Madden teed you up there beautifully, Tanny, but yes or no, that was just an excuse to watch one of the all-time Sopranos scenes to make that open.
I was talking to Brendan yesterday with these short shows. It's hard to stay in rhythm, keeping good opens together. So I'm like, that one little nugget I had, I grabbed it. I got a cookie and did not miss it.
Big puss going overboard. All right, well done by Chris Tannehill. Danny Mac is back.
And Joe was right. That was a game to throw in Lake Michigan with cement shoes. That was bad from the first inning on. It just kept getting worse.
Yeah, it was pathetic. Bad at-bats. Yu Darvish, even with 8 strikeouts, just grooving home run derby with the wind blowing out.
Foul language, smoking grass.
Yes.
Pitchers not covering first.
Yeah, 3 different times. A third inning mound visit from Joe Madden, seemingly just to wake the guys up a little bit. It was an ugly game. It's a weird thing right now for the Cubs because they're 5-3 in their last 8, but they don't have more than 7 hits in any of those 8 games.
We overanalyze everything with baseball.
Yeah.
It's lifetime and baseball time are different. You know, a manager named Joe Morgan, not the former Cincinnati Red, but Boston Red Sox manager Joe Morgan, years ago, sat down with a young Matt Spiegel and explained to him there's a difference between the time in our regular lives and baseball time. Baseball time is slow. No reason to get too excited over losing a series to the Colorado Rockies.
Not at all.
I don't know if you like that analogy or not,
but
it makes all the sense in the world to me, the way Morgan explained it to Speaks.
Yeah, I agree completely, and it's just we are in a position because most fans, honestly, don't even freak out over it all. Even if you see it sometimes happening on Twitter or message boards or
and
blogs.
And you do.
You do, but like there's still 30,000 plus at every game at Wrigley. They're cheering if they win. They're still having a good time if they lose. It's not like there's mass panic in the streets. It's just we have a 5-hour radio show and the Bulls aren't playing. The Hawks aren't playing. The draft is over. So we have a tendency to ride the waves of emotion with a baseball season.
In media? I don't know if in media more than your average fan, social media have afforded the average Joe an opportunity to pop off whenever he wants.
I agree, but it doesn't mean that popping off like carries any more weight or means anything more. It's just we got a 5-hour show to fill.
Yeah, well, it's a 5-2 homestand.
Right.
You take that anytime, right?
Absolutely. And if they're figuring out ways to win when they're not getting anything from their best offensive players, Chris Bryant has, what, he just hit his second home run?
Rizzo has three now.
Rizzo now has three after back. Contreras still has one. That's your opening day, 2, 3, 4 in the batting order. Three guys who should be 30 home run, 25 home run plus hitters. So I'm not concerned at all. But I will say about Yu Darvish, like I told you last time we were together, it is getting annoying because it seems like it's a different thing every time. And this little anecdote, Gordon Whitmire was on with Mully and Hanley, and I had missed this. I hadn't read his story in the Sun-Times, so good job by those guys for getting him on. But, Tanny, the latest ailment, please, for Yu Darvish.
This pitching plan that these guys put together, it's incredibly detailed, and it's something that he's never come close to seeing before in terms of just how much detail and nuance is involved. And it requires, when it's fully employed, it's going to require using most or all of his pitches in a given game. He's not ready to do that yet. A couple of starts ago, I was talking to some people that are involved in that process who said they're still trying to get him to kind of buy all the way in, and it's hard because with anybody new, especially a veteran, it's not an easy buy-in. So at that point, this was two starts ago, it was during that road trip, it was like, okay, now we're not necessarily going to throw at you what we want to see everywhere, but we're going to throw at you in this game plan what we don't want to see. Here's a couple pitches we don't want to see or see to these guys. So then it puts a little more, it maybe gives him a little more of a comfort level to fall back on what he has more trust in a moment.
To bring up Mike Borzello in particular, I mean, he's the guy that's producing
his game plan. So,
the idea is that this is
what is supposed to make this guy so special for the Cubs and reach a new level with the Cubs. This particular game plan that they have, he hasn't bought in yet. He hasn't bought all the way in yet. He's not comfortable with it. He's still got to get used to it. It still has to work for him. It's not working for him yet. He's not the first pitcher that's happened to. The theory is he could be spectacular with this system. And instead, we're seeing a lot of potholes with it so far.
I will take them at their word because Theo said the same thing when he was on with me when you were gone, that it's part of the transition from Yu Darvish and getting comfortable with the Cubs. But when you add that to, like, it's just the latest excuse. There was the cramps. There was the walk to the pitcher.
The balk.
There was the balk. There was the getting squeezed in the zone. All these little things. And now it's the game plan from Borzello is too much. It's like, all right, listen, I get it. That's fine. It takes a while for you to buy in. You've got six different pitches. Maybe it'll take a little bit longer. They are good enough that they can afford this because he's got to be good in September and October. He doesn't really need to be good in April and May because they're going to win the division without him. And, oh, by the way, they're still on pace for 95 wins.
They're okay.
So they're fine.
They're fine.
But that doesn't mean it's not annoying to have your $120 million free agent pitcher not buying into the game plan from the pitching coach.
Yeah, I have not read.
Or in this case, the catching instructor.
Yeah, I've not read the Bordello book.
Borzello.
Borzello. Yeah, I don't know. We have fine, had too many cooks. But I imagine it suggests you don't throw the ball thigh high against that Colorado third baseman, Arenado. And there's the good news.
With 15 miles an hour wind blowing
out. Yeah, he doesn't have to face them anymore. They're done with the Rockies for the year. Glad to see Trevor Story get out of town because he rocked one yesterday off Darvish, too.
Yeah, it's just I'm getting a little annoyed because Theo said, he's like, you could get annoyed when a good team plays poorly. And it's like, man, Yu Darvish should not have this much going on between the ears.
I agree with you.
That throws him off his game. And I was telling Shep yesterday, the problem that I have with it is even if it clicks, and I believe that it will, right? Like the Cubs are smart. They made a huge investment. His numbers are incredible. Like the stuff still is, he still had 8 strikeouts yesterday. Like yesterday he was leaving some pitches up in the zone or whatever. But the strikeout numbers are there. Even if he has a run of 10, 12, 14 starts, now that when you combine it with him, quote-unquote, like tipping the pitches and whatever happened with him in the World Series last year, with these little mental things, you're going to give this guy the ball in game 1, 2, or 3 of a playoff series, and you're going to wonder, can he handle adversity in a big spot if these little things can derail him in April and May?
It's 6 starts. He started 6 games for the Cubs. Given good health, he's got 25 more.
Yeah.
Maybe 28 more.
I'm counting playoffs, sure.
Yeah, but so I'm not writing his his final chapter yet.
Not even close.
But the early indications are with Yu Darvish, I think the best word to describe him thus far as a Cub is delicate. He seems to be fragile.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And what's interesting about not buying in, the accusation of him not buying in yet to the system, is like he chose the Cubs. He had a lot of suitors out there that he could have gone to, right? It's not like they drafted him and it's taking a while. Like in free agency, he chose the Cubs. And so you would think part of that, given what we know about what Theo and Jed and what they did for Ohtani,
right,
and their recruitment pitches, is like they sell these players on what they're going to do. How, not only about Wrigley Field and the training complex and what they do for families and the money and all,
yes,
but they sell you on how they're going to make you a better baseball player, how you're going to win with them. So
in the end, though, it's $126 million.
Of course.
That's the most appealing.
Of course it is. But he had great financial offers from a lot of places. It's a little surprising that he's not bought in yet to a place that he chose. And maybe it's the old dog with the proverbial new tricks, right? Like, he's been so successful for his career for so long that it's taking him a while, or longer than it should, to adjust to new things. But I was not expecting to wake up this morning and read the Sun-Times and read yet another excuse for why Darvish just had a bad and can't get out of the fifth inning.
Hey, I was surprised this morning when my feet hit the floor that the Sun-Times is still in production. I thought they went out of business a year ago. How about the other newspaper? What do you think of, and I know you probably read the newspaper only on your phone.
I do.
The actual hard copy today of the Tribune.
Yeah.
The cover artwork.
I'm just seeing that.
Is a picture of Yu Darvish with his hand up by his nose, and the headline underneath is "The Whiff." What does that communicate to you?
That his hands smell bad?
No.
That he's
Whiff?
The whiff? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well,
you think Yale?
No.
That's what we. You never called a whiff?
No. Oh, no. Man. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's. It looks like he's smelling a stink finger there.
It looks like he's, got a little drippage or something.
Oh, little snot
from
on the ball.
From the whiff.
Little hair. I didn't know that as a slang term for it. How about that? Well, that would be libel or slander by the Tribune.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. It's like they probably don't know that. Are you kidding me?
Right. I was not familiar with that term. But, I mean, what do the numbers under there suggest on him, by the way? Because the peripheral numbers for him still suggest that he should be good, right? It's got all – I haven't seen the graphic.
Yeah, but his numbers for the year, 30 innings pitched. He's walked 16 guys in 30 innings. That's a guy every other inning.
And that ain't great.
31 hits. He's got an earned run average of 6.00. His whip.
Flat six.
Yeah, his whip. And this is, I always look at whip. I like whip. I want my starters right around 1.1, 1.15. That's the good area for your starters. He's at 177 right now.
He's been a disaster.
177? That's not going to get it done for you, Darvish.
No, it isn't. And it's just a different thing every time. And that's where
so far it is.
Because he had the one great start against Milwaukee. The results a couple times against Milwaukee have been fine. But, like, man, it's just off-putting that every time when he can't get out of the fifth inning, the explanation is something different. I'm like, well, so do you really have a handle on what the problem is? Or is there it feels like a little bit more grasping at straws when it's a different thing every time with your $126 million free agent.
He has already allowed more runs as a Cub than he did as a Dodger last regular season when he was acquired at the trade deadline.
That's the other part of it, right? That even if you were to just... So, okay, he hasn't bought in yet to the Cubs thing. Well, then just pitch like you pitched last year, and it was still really good. Or 2 years ago, really was really good. But, just do what you've been doing, and you'd be worth the contract. They're hopeful that they can have him be even better than his baseball card. I would sign up for his baseball card right now. Just pitch to your career numbers.
That'd be fine.
And you'd be much better than what you've been so far. You put a poll out there for the best gambling event of the sports season.
Yes.
We got one of them coming up this weekend. Eddie Olczyk will join us in 15 minutes on The Score.
Time for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. With the 143rd Kentucky Derby call, here's Larry Coles.
They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Well, when you're sitting back in your rose pink Cadillac, taking bets on Kentucky Derby Day.
Moving him up a little early, Eddie Olczyk from NBC's Triple Crown coverage, and of course the Stanley Cup playoffs. Eddie O, ahead of this weekend's Kentucky Derby, joins us on the McNeil and Parkin Show. How's it going, Edzo?
Parksy, Danny Mac, what's going on, boys?
Eddie O, it is good to have you on board. I just started my Derby research this morning, and my first blush reaction after reading several horse racing columnists is that this is not a very deep field. There are several horses that probably will still be running next week, right?
Well, I'm not on that side of the street. I think this is a very deep field. I think you can go seven or eight ways in this race when it comes to picking a winner for the 144th running of the Kentucky Derby. Make everybody aware. I mean, again, I got the galoshes out. I got the rubbers out. I got whatever you need. Like, we're expecting a little bit of moisture here to come through Louisville here tomorrow and into Saturday. And we're hoping it's going to be a fast track. But this storm that's coming from the south looks like it's going to move right over Louisville on Saturday. So hopefully we're going to have a fast track. But if that indeed is the case, then I think literally all bets are off when it comes to, what could happen, because a lot of these horses have never been on an off track.
So, Edzo, for those of us who haven't read any horse racing column so far this year, can you just give us a general overview of what you think of the field?
Well, I mean, look, the favorite is Justify, trained by Bob Baffert, and everybody knows that name in horse racing. He was the trainer of American Feral a couple of years ago that won the Triple Crown, the first one we've had in a boatload of years. He's the real deal. Like, I was around that horse a couple of days ago, and this is like a man amongst kids that are in, seniors in high school and freshmen in college. Like, he's just absolutely imposing, and he just has a confidence about him. He's 3 for 3 in his life. He's only raced as a 3-year-old. He did not race as a 2-year-old. And every Kentucky Derby winner since 1882, his run as a 2-year-old, regardless of what they did as a 2-year-old, they ran as a 2-year-old. So no Derby winner since 1882 has not run as a 2-year-old and won the Kentucky Derby. And that's what he's up against. So look, but I think this horse is the real deal. Will he be the real deal on Saturday? Time will tell, but I think you certainly have to use that horse. Todd Pletcher has 20% of the field. He has 4 horses of the 20. And of course he won last year with Always Dreaming, his second Kentucky Derby win. So, I think you can go a lot of different ways. I'm actually looking to the horse to the inside of Justify, who is the 7. I'm looking at the 6 horse, Good Magic. Thank you. Don't forget to tip over your waiters and waitresses after that. I just think that this horse is sitting on a big race. He won the Bluegrass down at Lexington, Kentucky at Keeneland about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think he can be very tactical. I think he'll like the off track. His breeding certainly suggests he would like the off track. I'm not sure if his mutter was a mutter, but we'll find out if that is indeed the case on Saturday. And if the track, I'll give you a long shot. If the track, and I don't have my program in front of me, so excuse me, but the name of the horse is My Boy Jack. I don't know if he's the 10 horse or not.
Boy Jack is the 10 horse, okay. And going off at 30-1, and I've already bet him because my youngest son's name is Jack.
Well, perfect. And I think if the track does come up with some moisture in it, then I think that this horse's chance goes up, because I think this is one of those horses that enjoys running on and off track, and if that indeed is the case, 30-1 is not a bad price on My Boy Jack.
To drive home Eddie's point on Justify, since 1882, not 1982, since 1882, unraced 2-year-olds are 0-61 in the Derby. Yeah. 0-61. Does it bother you that Justify has only run 3 races, Eddie?
No, not really. Not with the trainer, not with the connections here, Danny Mac. No, absolutely not. And again, the way that he has won his 3 races have been off the charts. Like, I mean, just so impressive. Now, can he go the mile and a quarter? You're going to be in front of 160,000 people. You're going to have, 3,000 people around the paddock when these 20 horses are walking around. I mean, psychologically, it's not only the physical aspect, but it's also the psychological aspect. Are these horses tough enough mentally? And certainly seems like this horse just kind of nothing really bothers him, nothing really fazes him. And when it gets down to that, that means you got a special horse. And again, I think this horse is super special, but will he be special enough on the first Saturday in May?
Eddie Olczyk with us on The Score. The first leg of the Triple Crown on NBC. Edzo will be a part of the broadcast, is this Saturday late afternoon. How would you advise our audience, casual sports bettors that maybe don't know the horse racing lingo? Walk them through what you would suggest as a foray into this race.
Well, it depends on how much money you want to invest, but you can certainly go to your local racetrack. You can go to Arlington, you can go to Hawthorne, you can go to local OTB, or go online on ExpressBet or whatever you want to do. And you can play exactas. You could use three horses. So just say, for example, if you want to use the 6, 7, and 10, if you want to play you invest $60 on those three horses in an exacta box, meaning out of those three horses, you have to get the top two finishers in any order. So if you just say the verbiage of, hey, I'd like a $10 exacta box, 6, 7, 10, there's six different combinations that it can come in an exact order of 1, 2. And if you do that, then hopefully, the favorite doesn't win and you get those other two, because if the favorite wins, it's still going to pay, because I think, you still have some long shots in there. But if you happen to get a couple of lobsters in there, then all of a sudden your $60 investment might end. Hey, look at it. You can play your birthday, your address, your social, whatever you want to do. But I think in exacta box, you want to get it more aggressive and box 3-4 horses for a trifecta, meaning trying to get the exact order. I mean, then you're really talking about some big money. But again, I think it's small steps, and you don't have to invest a lot to make a lot. But I still think that you can make some money even if Justify happens to win or finish second.
Eddie, do me a favor. Do not explain the mathematics to Sylvie if you see him tomorrow, and I'm assuming you will, because I want to see the look on his face when he's to the window and makes a $20 try box, not knowing it's going to cost him $120. He will run for the exits, that cheap little bastard.
It'll be humming a humming a humming a.
$120, what?
What's your ticket going to look like, Edzo?
You're breaking up, Parksy. I really can't hear you there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, look, I got a few plays on tomorrow and Saturday, and not only in between my job and why I'm here, actually. I mean, I still can't believe I get the opportunity to work for NBC on a horse racing coverage. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I happen to get paid for going to the racetrack. And, I mean, look, they must know that it just goes right back into the windows anyway. So I'll probably end up being even by the end of the day, but hopefully not.
Sounds like he's going the 7 horses, the favorite, the Baffert horse, Justify with good magic. And maybe my boy Jack is part of a trifecta box. Hey, can I ask you a hockey question before you leave?
Sure.
30 seconds. Tom Wilson gets 3 games for the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
I've watched the replay 10 times. I've seen every angle of the hit. To me, the penalty is excessive. What do you think?
I don't think there's any doubt there's a suspension there. I thought it was a avoidable contact to the head of Aston Reese, the young forward for the
Penguins.
Penguins. And Danny Mack, again, I'm in the camp of, regardless of the act or the intent, you could have a cement jaw and mine can be glass. And if somebody pops me, I'm out, and somebody pops you and you pop right back up. They sit there and go, well, it wasn't that bad of a hit, right? Like, they sit there and go, well, geez, Olczyk's down and he's out. Well, then, that's what we're looking at. And all of a sudden there's somebody else that gets right back up and doesn't get hurt. I know it's hard not to look at that, but I'm just saying, regardless of what the extent of the injury is, like, we know a hockey play, the difference between a hockey play and a hockey play goes bad. I thought it was a little long and excessive for Tom Wilson. I would have been okay with 2. But at the end of the day, I thought he had a chance to hit the guy, hit him in the shoulder, or make it an avoidable hit. And, look, we want to protect our players, but you also want hard hockey. So you watch it in slow-mo. I mean, it looks really, really crazy. And then when you watch it in real speed, you sit there and go, geez.
Yeah.
That is a violent, violent collision with a couple of big-time heavy hockey players.
And being a repeat offender probably factored in too, right?
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that's a great point, Parksy. That is a great point. But at the end of the day. And look, they, a lot of people think is that when you get suspended in a playoffs, it's almost like it compared to the regular season, it's almost, you know, it's almost like double. So if you get three games in a playoffs, that's really like six in the regular season. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the league did what they did, and I agree with the suspension, but if I was in charge, I probably would have maybe looked to be a little bit lighter on Tom Wilson.
Edzo, enjoy the weekend at the track. Thank you very much for the time.
Okay, boys, get your feet wet this weekend. Have fun.
You got it.
It
thanks,
won't be
Eddie.
A problem for us. I'll dive right in with no knowledge. It's never stopped me before.
I don't doubt it.
Thank you, Mark Grody. This segment brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. Did you hear me make a hockey point?
Yeah, that, I did. I noted that. Yeah,
he's a great point, Parksy.
Yeah, he did.
How cool is that?
Yeah, you're done for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You kidding?
You have to
I'm
say
retiring.
Nothing else at this point.
I am retiring.
I was surprised the Kentucky Derby didn't rate a little higher in my Twitter poll today on which is the best sport or which is your favorite sports wagering event of the year. The Derby's only getting 18%. It's a two-horse race, no pun intended, between the NCAA tournament and the Super Bowl.
And then did you have a fourth or was it just other?
I had college bowl games on New Year's Day, which is getting about 4% of the votes.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's not much.
That's not much.
Love you 4%ers. I'm with you at the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's a great
one. Oh, it's the first one of the day.
The noon slayer, the 11 a.m. Central slayer.
Yeah, and then 12:30, yeah. The Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I voted NCAA tournament. Quantity. You know me as the action gambler. The opening weekend going from 64 teams down to 16 over a 4-day period of time. That is just such a great gambling marathon.
It is. But let me help you with Saturday. It's not just the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. It's the 9 races that precede the Kentucky Derby. That's where the money is to be won.
Well, I don't normally go to a track for the Derby. I have before. But I don't normally do that where I have the ability or like have the research to bet everything.
Go to an OTB. I don't. They have programs at them.
No, I know. I'm just saying I don't normally do that. I'm normally the guy that. All right, so I think post is 5:46 Central Time. I was reading. So
yes,
I'm normally the guy that turns on the Derby at 5:15. Like that's just how I normally consider.
Already played your moves? Already done with making your moves?
Yeah, but sometimes, or I'll get horrible odds and I'll fire in a bet at 5:27. Like I am the most square public derby bettor ever. It is the fastest 2 minutes in sports, and it's great action, and I'm there for it, but I don't care about much else.
Okay.
With it. But I would love
I gotcha.
To.
When I've gone to the Derby, and I've gone a half a dozen times since 05, I never go to the Oaks on Friday. Tomorrow's the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah.
People say, why don't you go to the Oaks? Because one day at a racetrack is enough for me. If you get there at 10 a.m., you get to play 10 races. That's enough.
Sure.
It's a full day. We play golf on Fridays, me and my buds.
That's great. I would love to go. I would love to go and be in the infields and drink and gamble and, you know, waste a few $100 and just have a great time. I would love to do it. We should do it as a show. We can go next year, whatever the case may be. I've never done it, but I always have a good time at Arlington. I hit I call it a three-team trifecta, but I know that's not what it is, three-team parlay.
Call it a trifecta.
I know. I hit the trifecta at Saratoga, maybe the most famous racetrack outside of Churchill Downs, my sophomore year of college, before my sophomore year, $1,500 on a $12 bet. Pretty spectacular.
That's nice.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, it was gone but within a couple weeks. But we had a blast at the beginning of sophomore year. And then, yeah, other than that, not much horse experience.
The reason I recommend the first 9 races, or now sometimes the Derby, the actual Kentucky Derby is the 9th race. Usually it's the 10th. It's even been the 11th. They move it around. Because you get the benefit of easier math. When you have a 9-horse field, because there's 3 scratches or whatever, just a small field to begin with, it's just simple math. You do a trifecta box on a favorite, mid-level odds, and a long shot. And you got a really good chance of cashing a big ticket.
Nice. So what's the biggest ticket you've ever cashed?
$3,210.
Nice.
Yeah, 2010. There were 10 horses running in the third race at Churchill Downs. I bet the favorite. I bet a horse that was 12-1. And my long shot was, I think, 20-1 or now, maybe 25-1.
Are you ever taking in anything other than like names of the horses or odds,
yeah,
or odds of the horses?
Yeah, I read their last starts. Yes, I do read the program.
Okay.
On day of. I don't spend weeks thinking about it. I don't talk. And I will play a horse if it's got a name of somebody.
Of course everybody
like.
Does.
And if the colors are turquoise, I'm in. I just love turquoise.
It's an aesthetically pleasing color.
It is turquoise.
It's like me with Tar Heel blue. I'm like, I don't even like North Carolina, but it's a good shade of blue. I was a 3-6-10. I don't remember any of the names of the horses, but the trifecta I hit was 3-6-10 at Saratoga.
So I made this $10 trifecta box play on that race, and one of the guys in our group knows how to calculate the odds. Mm-hmm. Looking at the, he goes, I could tell you what. I said, I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. I want to go up to the window and see that LED readout.
Yeah, of course.
And I give my ticket to the teller, and he puts it in, and he says, I have to go get my boss. And I said, I like the sound of that. And he came back with an earnings statement.
You had to pay taxes.
Yeah, you had to pay taxes, sure.
What is it, 600 or more?
I think it's
800?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
800 or
yeah.
more?
Might be 800, 900, but yeah. So I come back and I play a little bit more boldly in the next race.
Yeah.
And instead of putting 50 on a horse to win at 10 to 1, I put 100 on it because it had my father's name.
Oh.
Roy Boy was the name of the horse. And he won.
Father's name was
so
Boy.
So two races in, I'm up $4,200.
That's fantastic.
That's a good day.
That's a good day. Now, did you do the gambler move? Did you pick up a bunch of losing tickets around the track so you could deduct your losses against your wins and not have to really pay taxes?
No.
So you paid your taxes?
Only a guy who gives away gift cards as a wedding gift would do that.
I mean, that's smart. That's next level gambling.
Yeah,
stuff.
I suppose it is.
If you're going to pay the taxes on your big wins, you may as well deduct some fake losses.
The smile on my face was a mile wide the day I pulled out of the mailbox an earnings statement with Churchill Downs on the return envelope. That was cool.
That is a beautiful day. It's also a beautiful day that you're back. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Speaking of gambling, how about that announcement today? We're going to be partnering up with VSiN here at the Score in McNeil and Parkins. That's pretty cool. Brent Musburger going to occasionally stop by the show.
We're allowed to say that, right? You just did.
Is this thing on?
I believe we've been cleared to say. Yeah.
Whoa.
Brent may join us tomorrow. He may.
4 o'clock tomorrow for Brent.
Oh, he's in already. 4 o'clock. See that?
Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
So Brent will be on, and we're gonna talk gambling with him, but story time too. I love stories from Brent Musburger. Like he's seen everything in sports. So
I'm sure he will wax poetic on how majestic Seattle Slough was in 1977.
That's what I want from, you know what I mean? It feels like your grandfather, and you just pull up a chair and you listen to him tell stories. And even if the facts aren't real, who knows? It doesn't matter. It's like listening to the Grobber overnight. It's totally fine. It's just like you just want the stories, and he just tells them so well.
Yeah. Now, has the Grobber done a 180 on whether Bobby Boucher is going to make it in the NFL?
I don't know. That's a follow-up question that someone should ask him tonight on the show, I would think.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is. But so you're gonna be hearing VSiN reports in the 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock hours of the shows, and then Brent Musburger will join us tomorrow to talk Derby, and then I think he's gonna join us Thursdays most of the time on the show, and we'll tell some stories from his career, and we'll talk some gambling. It'll be a beautiful thing. Got to get into some gambling stuff on this show too. We got Shep's bet. That against Anthony Rizzo, that Rizzo doesn't know that he's participating in.
Yeah, Rizzo is up to 171 on his BA since this thing transpired.
Yeah.
Which is, what, about a 30% or 30-point jump? 28
points, I think he's at. Yeah. I think he's at 43 or somewhere in there.
And Shep's weight has gone up.
Yeah.
Sweet Knight did me no favors.
The goal was to see if Rizzo could pass Shep's weight by the end of May. And it's looking like he's going to, which is good for all Cubs fans and Anthony Rizzo involved. But Shep, you could make it tougher on Rizzo by just continuing to eat like you did at the Skybox the other night.
Well, past my weight, my goal was to get under 200 before he got above 200 was my ultimate goal. Everyone else's might be for me to eat my way and have Rizzo try to chase me.
You can still get there.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of exercise real quick.
It's going to take him another week at least. Can you drop 8 pounds in a week?
Is that healthy?
Sure,
who cares if it's healthy or not?
But yeah, you're going in the right direction. It's less than 5% of your body weight in 1 week. That's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
All right. Well, we'll try that then. need you guys to be on my ass about what I consume during a show, too.
I don't notice what you eat or don't eat during the show because my back is to you for three.
Well, tell
three
more
of the five
jokes
hours.
So you turn
yeah,
back
so
here
I can
and
turn
look
around for,
a- for
affirmation. That's right. That's right. Be funnier.
So how, what have you been eating since? Are you even working on this, or is this literally just you threw out your weight against Anthony Rizzo's batting average?
Oh, I've been trying to watch what I eat in just in terms of amount taken in, that part of things, and I need to get the running thing going again because there's nothing that I don't know how most people usually go about losing weight.
Exercise.
But when I do, running is a lot faster than like actually, I don't know, some people go elliptical, some people lift weights, some people do that. Like running is the quick fix for me.
Okay, yeah, I think exercise.
Fitness tips with Danny Parkin. Yeah.
It's like music exercise. Reviews.
Calorie consumption.
Yeah. I don't know much.
Oh, I'm laughing so hard I'm sweating.
Are you sure those aren't the voice meds again?
No, I haven't had any meds in a while.
Oh, okay, good.
No fun ones anyway.
Yeah, good. Glad to keep you around that way.
Oh, boy.
What's going on, man?
He looks fine, by the way, at 205. He doesn't need to lose weight.
I agree. I didn't say that he did.
I think he's got 10 pounds to go.
Until I start to look out of place or a little too heavy?
You look fine. You know, we don't see you with your shirt off.
Well.
At least not yet. Not until the Red Sox win the World Series, yeah.
Yankees
unstoppable.
They've
cooled off.
Right,
yes, the Yankees are on a roll.
They are. We'll talk a little national baseball with Jason Stark today at 3:40. We're going to divide it. I want to devise a trade with him to get Manny Machado to the Cubs. May as well, right?
Always love the mock trades.
Like, Machado, they got to trade him. They're going to lose him for a comp pick at the end of the year for nothing. He's one of the five best position players in the sport. Cubs are going to be in the contention to sign him. Addison Russell and a little bit more?
I would say a little bit more,
You're
yes.
going to have to do better than that.
Yeah, okay, but it's a half season. Right?
Understood.
Addison Russell's better than a comp draft pick.
He is, but he's also, like, Addison Russell's also, this is probably the low point of if you were ever going to trade him.
No, he's got to play better for the next 2 months.
I don't think Addison Russell alone, even for 4 years or 5 years, is going to get that done.
Neither do I.
Left with.
Neither do I, but I think that it's a legitimate starting point.
Sure.
Of a trade.
Machado aside, you're willing to part company with Addison Russell so quickly. That's interesting to me.
Well, I think
that'd be with the goal of getting Machado to stay around.
Right. The goal would be that Theo would identify it as he's going to also re-sign Manny Machado.
Right, but let's take Machado out of the equation just for the sake of discussion here. What you're saying then is I completely trust Javi Baez to be my everyday shortstop, right?
No, I trust Manny Machado to be my shortstop.
But I'm taking him out of the equation.
But I'm not getting rid of Addison Russell unless I get Manny Machado, right? Because Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are both free agents next year.
Right.
Bryce Harper going to cost more than Manny Machado, and they already have Jason Hayward, who they can't move.
You don't think?
They can't move that contract. So it's going to be
like saying exercise is good for weight loss.
Hey, I'm here all day.
184, can't move it.
Not an afternoons for no reason, folks. I got the takes. So if you move Addison Russell, there's an opening at shortstop. Manny Machado could fill that opening. Now, Javi Baez might be a better shortstop than Machado, but Machado's playing a pretty good shortstop so far this year, and he's hitting the cover off
the
bar.
Yes, that's what matters.
So if you're going to add a top – I mean, how many position players in the sport are better than Manny Machado?
Not many.
Mike Trout, Bryce Harper.
Harper might be I don't know if I take Bryce Harper over Manny Machado.
Okay. Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts, yes. Megastar.
That's
not
the list.
Many. It's not many,
right?
And he's 25.
He's as good as Chris Bryant, right? Like, that's the caliber of player that he is. So, yeah, give him on Addison Russell for him.
Okay, all right. I did not see, by the way, the home run that Trout hit last night.
It hasn't landed.
It's, what, 524 feet?
That's what I saw, yeah.
With an exit velocity of almost 117.
I don't know. I didn't see the exit velocity.
Because you know me.
Yeah, thank God that exit velocity is there to make sure we know that Mike Trout hit a 500-foot home run hard.
He hit it hard. Yeah, it was useful to have that in there.
Exit velocity and I go way back. We've gotten along swimmingly since Jump Street.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You might remember me telling you how silly that stat was.
Yeah.
And then I recently found myself missing it when I didn't get it.
Really?
I was driving home from the radio station early last week when the Cubs were in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Or was it the week before?
It was The last 10 days.
Tuesday, Wednesday series, I believe.
Yeah. The two home run game for Schwarber. The second one was a majestic, towering drive.
Yeah.
But the first one was a duck hook bullet.
Yes, it was.
Just an absolute bullet. And I'm listening on the way home, and I'm like, wow, based on Pat's description, I wonder what the exit velocity was.
And I would love to know what it was, and we will have it for you momentarily.
Oh, I know what it was afterward, but yeah.
Go ahead.
That did leave the park in a major hurry.
I immediately saluted Major Hurry on my drive down to Ryan. And I'm like, tell me more. Major Hurry. How fast? And I find myself for the first time wanting to know.
But would you, does 117 versus 112 versus 105 do anything for you?
I was curious.
Fast.
Because I've learned what's a really fast home run now on exit velocity.
Over 100 miles per hour.
And so when you're in the car and you don't see the graphic, because when I see the graphic, I think it's stupid, but I'm in the car and they're marveling, both Pat and Ron are marveling over how fast it left the yard. And I'm saying, don't tell me it's a major hurry. It left
that
it.
Did leave the park in a major hurry.
Salute Major Hurry.
Salute Major Hurry. All right, well, Mac will continue to wax poetic on exit velocity. We'll bring Manny Machado to Chicago, and we got a new broadcaster for Monday Night Football, all before Jason Stark on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.